Hey, John, have you ever been threatened by any government types just to stay quiet?
Never. Never the slightest bit of that have I ever experienced.
You know, people ask me that, too. Never happen. They just leave us alone, don't they?
They do, and, you know, considering all the stuff that Above Top Secret and my friend Springer has put on that forum, it's really interesting. I mean, he put on the Copernicus pictures in all their glory, and they are there now if anybody wants to go see them, and also thelivingmoon.com.
What's next on your agenda, John, these days?
Well, I've got this little mine going, gold mine here that I'm trying to start up in Gold Butte. It's been 5 years going. I'm just waiting for it to get warm enough so I can get out there and start milling.
Have you found any little nuggets yet?
It's not. It's hard rock. They don't have nuggets.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And it's the only certificated gold mine in southern Nevada. Certificated and operating gold mine.
Now, how do you know there's gold there?
It's a vein that's been mined for 100 years.
Okay. Well, you might hit the mother load. You never know.
No, it'll be maybe an ounce at the best per ton. But, I'm retired. I don't need that much. In a beautiful place called Gold Butte.
You're doing it for fun primarily?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the calls we go. Let's pick it up by going west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello there. Happy New Year. This is Julia in Ashland.
Hi, Julia.
And I have a couple questions for John. I'm interested in this soul catcher theory, and John, I follow you until you get to this point, and then I start to fear for your sanity a little bit.
Yeah.
I just would like to know. First of all, you said they shoot the soul back into the body when the baby's pretty clear to live past a couple of days. Well, obviously they made a lot of mistakes on that one. And who's they? Who are doing this? And they must know the soul's past lives, I assume. How do they decide which souls reincarnate? Is this like some assembly line and then they just randomly select them? Do they have a design that makes us, repress our past lives, memories of it? And then why do some of us recall our past lives like I do?
Everybody has many, many past lives. And yes, there is a design. When you die, they know exactly where you're going next. And if you have to go to a holding place where you have to be taken out behind the woodshed and said, "Now, you didn't do a very good job this time. Next time, we're going to expect a little bit better."
Who is they, John? Extraterrestrials or dimensional people?
Yeah, the extraterrestrials, the people who run this operation. You know, we just didn't grow here from fish. Somebody put us here. Somebody made us here, and we're part of the big design. There are billions of places just like Earth all over the universe, and people are in various stages of development. Some are more advanced than us, some are less advanced from us, but there's Earth all over the place, billions of them.
Well, how can they expect us to make any progress if we can't remember our past lives?
That's the trick.
A lot of people can't,
Julie. The maturing of the soul. We can't cheat.
Why do they repress the memories?
Pardon?
Why would they repress our memories of our past lives if we're supposed to make any progress?
I don't know how that works, but I'll tell you one guy who does, and that's Sleeper. And
got to get Sleeper on.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, if you could get him on, boy, I'll tell you, it would be great. He's short and to the point, and he has a heck of a good sense of humor.
Okay, we'll work on that. Next up, let's go to our next wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Mark in Philly.
Okay, Mark.
Hey, and on that last caller, I wouldn't worry too much about past lives. We're on the verge of becoming immortal like the Anunnaki before us, at which point there's not going to be a whole lot of repeats going on. You're just going to sort of hang around. But and for your gold digging that you're going to be doing, that's also your Anunnaki birthright, because supposedly they created us as gold lusting after slave workers.
Yeah, that's William Bramley's theory.
Well, Zechariah Sitchin, specifically, at least as I follow. But listen, and as far as being called and being left alone, I have been called by somebody from an alphabet agency because of some stuff that I was doing. I used to run a website that focused on the second face at Sidonia, called Face 2 at Sidonia, the Anunnaki, as I called it. And we used to put up all kinds of wild new discoveries leading right up to that 1998 new image release, if
yes.
You'll recall.
Yeah.
And we posted all kinds of two different dolphins that were found there in that same area, just like the two faces and so on. Well, every 6 hours, the website eventually was being whacked by an acronym agency where it would suck down hundreds of pages every second. so I was keeping a copy. And I used to get sometimes 3,000 visitors a day, and about 50% of them were government and .mil IP addresses, right?
Yeah.
So I started collecting them, and I started discovering all kinds in there, including eventually E0001.eop.gov, which I think you can figure out who that probably was, Executive Office of the President,
yeah.
Executive One. Anyway, so I started cutting off the IP addresses and putting Ws at the front, and eventually my main point here in support of what you were saying before, while I don't think that it's likely that somebody's walking out with a can of Windex, it's way too risky to be pulling malarkey like that. You have the dust devils to take care of that as far as the rovers. I do think it's likely that we are probably to some degree at Mars, and the reason is because I backdoored just going, you know, to what I thought were publicly available or not, websites, but to some of these very strange IP addresses, and I came up with one of the various space battle labs that you might have seen online. But this one had a spinning GIF animation with a logo or sort of a badge for whatever group this was.
Yeah.
And on one side of it, I swear to God, on one side of it is this, you know, the Stars and Stripes and rockets and all kinds of space-looking launch-type vehicles. And on the flip side is a, you know, white-suited, gold helmet, I can remember clear as day, gold helmet-covered astronaut standing in front of a red city with a red atmosphere behind it, holding some kind of space-looking rifle in his hands. So, you know, this is back in 98, and that's just something that I sort of fell back into. And once I saw that, I disconnected the connection and, you know, cut off from that stuff for a little while because, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, take the heat. But the bottom line is I agree with about 90% of what you had to say. I think everything from the launch vehicles to what is probably a soon-to-be, you know, revealing of themselves to us en masse, primarily because of these sort of... you know, all over the world, these atomic battles that seem to be gearing up between either the Israelis and their neighbors, India and Pakistan, North Korea and anybody, Iran and the U.S. There's too much volatility, and I don't think, even though there may be billions of planets out there that are great, it still seems like Earth, you know, the reason they came here, according to the Bible, the sons of the gods came down to make, you know, mate with the fairest women. They like our Earth women, and I think they're coming here for that and the gold mining and all of the variety of other reasons.
Possibly. George, wasn't it with you that lady called in that was at NASA, and she was watching the TV monitor and of Mars, and the guy comes up, and they saw the two people walking across
mm-hmm.
the landscape?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, sure is. You have mentioned, by the way, that we have two Hubble telescopes. Explain that one, John.
Right. There was one that the public knows about, and then the other one was strictly military. And a few years ago, you'll remember the one that the public knows about, they said it went bad. It didn't go bad. What they did is they needed it for another mission.
Took it out of commission.
So they told the public that it was out of commission, and the military used that one, too. And they were tracking something that was in space, and I don't know what that was. And then when they finished that mission, they put it back into commission, and now we have that one. But there still is the other military Hubble. There's two Hubbles.
All right, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there, welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Giza Pyramid and the crop circles. If it's okay.
We're not doing that tonight with John Lear. However, during open lines Friday night, more than welcome to call in about that. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
George, this is Bruce in Austin, Texas, and just wanted to commend the show tonight. I'm kind of new to listening to your show.
I'm going to be in Austin in another week, Bruce. Come on by. Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that. I'm going to buy your book and read it, hopefully before I meet you.
Well, even if you don't buy the book, come on by.
Yeah, well, I want it. I mean, the book sounds real interesting, but yeah, I wanted to welcome you to Austin. I know you've been here before. So that event, it's just on the, 26th or 27th?
Yeah, I've got the show on the 26th, the radio show, and then the event's on the 27th. Let's hope there's no more ice out there, huh?
Yeah, it's going to go away tomorrow. I think it's starting to get above freezing, so it'll be just fine by the time you get here.
All right, great. Thanks, Bruce. But go ahead.
Hey, John, I really appreciate, you know, you just doing the show, and I got the websites. What's the other one, the Legend website you were talking about?
Landoflegends.us.
Okay, I'll make sure I get that. I won't keep you guys very long, but I just wanted to thank you for a great program, and we'll see you next week, George.
Okay, I shall be there, and thanks. Appreciate you calling the show. Next up, let's go to our Wild Card Line. You're on Coast to Coast. We put some more Wild Card Lines in, so these phones keep ringing. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Dave from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Green Bay, Wisconsin, the home of the Green Bay Packers.
You bet.
All right.
Yep. I work in Appleton. My buddy Howie and I listen to you all the time.
Thanks.
I got a couple questions here.
Okay.
The Russians have been sending up spacecrafts to outer space and charged millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Where are they going? And the second question is, the International Space Station, what are they doing with that, and what does that have to do with anything to do with the moon, and, you know, what's going on? Does that have any occurrence? Can your guest tell me about that?
Okay, David, I'll let you listen on the radio. $20 million that people are paying the Russians to shoot them off into space, John. I think they just do some orbits and they come back.
Absolutely, that's all they do.
That's a lot of money for just that.
Yep.
But if they have it, it's theirs, I guess, huh?
And he asked about the International Space Station.
Yep.
As far as I know, they don't do anything except try and hold it together.
You know, I have for years wondered what that thing is going to do one day.
Nothing. It's just a cover. It's for the public to look at and say, oh, man, isn't that great? You know, we can see it going around while they're mining the moon, going to Mars, going to other planets.
Billions of dollars to divert our attention.
Right. It worked really good. And we would have never found out about it if I hadn't stumbled, made two, you know, very good connections. The one government insider and the pictures in SP-246, which was a NASA publication called Lunar Photographs of Apollo 8, 10, and 11, and started looking really closely at those pictures and wondering, boy, I wonder what's in there. You know, NASA has two code words for airbrushing. One is ejecta, and the other is slump. And the slump, you can see in the crater Kepler, it's a white triangle, and they've referred to it as slump. It's not. It's an airbrush triangle. And the ejecta is the white stuff you see all over the, coming out of the volcanoes, or the craters. There's no white stuff. That ejecta is airbrush stuff. But they weren't proficient enough in the early days with it. Now they are, but they weren't in the early days. So those of us who have the early photographs get to see some of the really cool stuff that's up there.
I didn't get your reaction to Ingo Swann's remote viewing of the far side of the moon.
Oh, where my he says God, George. Somebody has promised me a book, an original book of Ingo Swann's, and I've been waiting a year for it. And what a great guy. I just love to read that book.
My aunt thought the world of him. They just they work together on some projects.
Really?
And
I've been promised the book, and you know, you can't get one anymore.
No, so. You can't. I mean, they sell. I think if you can go to Amazon.com, you might find one. But I think they go for at least a couple $100 now.
Oh no, they're more than that.
Are they really?
I'd get one for a couple hundred.
I'm going to find out right now while we're taking a few more calls before we wrap things up.
Okay.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Is this me now, George?
It sure is, sir.
All right, thank you very much. This is Harry from the Seattle area.
Okay, Harry.
Couple of questions, actually. Do you believe, John, that the reason that the little guy is able to have this information is to bring us up to that next level of spirituality where we are able to conceptualize all of these ideas that are being given to us about the moon and things like that?
It's not so much spirituality as it is a maturing of the soul.
Right.
In other words, our society, when we get up in the morning, we look for the first guy to shoot. And so we've got to learn to more, you know, express more love, reflect more love. And that's basically what it's all about. And we're a long ways from there.
Oh, you're definitely a long ways away. And also, which one of your other other persons that was calling in would actually ask, do you believe in the hollow earth theory?
Yes.
So do I. And, George, I know that is a topic that goes very deep with you, and I actually have the book, The Hollow Earth, and I've had it for quite some time because you can't find it anymore.
No, I've got that, too. A little red cover, isn't it?
That's the one.
Yep, okay.
And I actually have it in a photocopy because you can't have that. And it's really interesting to me that we don't have anything on, like, TLC, the History Channel, or anything giving us any information about Richard Byrd. Now, that makes me believe that because of the fact that you don't hear anything talked about, that it must be there.
I think landoflegends.us has a lot of stuff of Richard Byrd. Ron Schmidt, my associate, he knows a lot about that, has a lot of videotape, and the tie-in with everything. That's very interesting. As far as the Hollow Earth, yeah, it's hollow. There is much more going on down there than there is up here. And it's a very difficult concept for people, but in fact, it's true. I was talking with a TV production studio the other day about the ocean that extends under Nevada, California, and Utah, a huge ocean under there. And I was mentioning that there was two Navy submarines lost under there. One was Thresher, and I'm trying to think what the other one. It could have been, Scorpion. And those were allegedly lost in the Atlantic, and, there's this and that, and it's not true. They were lost in the while they were exploring the ocean.
So I'm on Amazon.com, John, and there are four penetration books left. Four. And the lowest price is $380. The highest is $860. Isn't
that
incredible?
Yeah, I'd pay that for it.
There's four of them. If you want to go onto Amazon, you probably pick up the one for $380. It goes to $430, $525, and $860.
I'll do it. And I thought they were over $1,000.
You know, I might be able to pick one up, have Ingo sign it, and then sell it back again on Amazon. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Mine goes for $14. I guess, there's a big difference. That is a good book. Got to pick that up. I may pick that up, too. Hey, John, we're coming up to the end. Maybe we can squeeze in one more call. Wild card line real quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Adam in Utah.
Hi, Adam.
John, I just wanted to ask you, you were talking about the SR-71 earlier. My grandfather retired from Lockheed in the late 70s, I think, and on his retirement poster, has everybody that signed it, and nothing to do with really what he did, but on the very top it has a Roadrunner. And a bunch of signatures around the Roadrunner. And then we found out in the 80s he worked on the SR-71 when he was finally allowed to talk about it. Does that relate a little bit to the people he used to work with?
Yeah, that's the Roadrunner group, and we meet every 2 years. I'm an associate member because I really had nothing to do except a tremendous interest. And I was the guy that found the story where they stored the original CIA birds. They were parked down at the fire station at Plant 42, which is Palmdale, and I got the original picture of that. One thing that most people don't know is we gave Russia an SR-71 in 1991. We gave it to Gorbachev, and the deal was if Gorbachev promised not to supply any troops, information, ammunition, or guns to Iraq, that we would leave one SR-71 in Moscow and train their pilots and support it, and that airplane is still there.
John Lear, I love talking with you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Wonderful guy. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, Stephanie Smith, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.